Yo, what the frick is happening, huh? Plat Chat Overwatch episode 73. We kicked Matt off again.
Yeah, get rid of him.
At this point, we might just permanently get rid of him. And we brought
him.
We
didn't
kick space.
Him off. He just kind of left.
He decided to get a 9-to-5 silver spoon mother. I'm not going to swear because I want to get us. You know, I don't want to get us demonetized.
It's twice now.
I don't want to get. I said frick.
By the way, how is working? How is having a 9-to-5 silver spoon?
Silver spoon. Yeah.
All of our listeners, Bren. Yeah. Work jobs.
Yeah.
The rich get richer. That's what I think when I think of Matt, Mr. X, Morello. Anyway, Space is joining us for a very special episode. Thank you for joining us, Space. Firstly.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And we're going to be doing the same thing that we did with Custer. So essentially, did we name it special anything? Did we name it something?
Nah. I suggested Recall.
We just said like Plat Chat Recall or something?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
That sounds good.
Yeah, we're doing the same thing that we did with Custer, except we're not going to embarrass Custer because we're actually going to watch a good game. And we decided to watch the USA versus South Korea match in 2019. So it's actually the semifinals, not even the finals. But we figured we'd watch a couple of these maps. We're going to skip out the boring ones like the Horizon Lunar Colony one. And we're just going to chat away with Space and talk about times gone by, you know, packed arenas.
Yeah. It's actually like you've just removed Horizon from even the history books. We've just gone through. It's not in the current game and it's not in the past game either. Get it out.
Matt here as well. They didn't get him a box for this. He must not. He there's a height difference. When you play this, you'll see.
No. There has to be a box because like he's not that much shorter than Mitch.
But Mitch is like leaning down. I think. Look, if you play it, we'll see. Wait. No, maybe he's not.
I think that's like a box.
That might be him with a box. Yeah.
Yeah. Yo, Space, do you remember when people were allowed to gather together and there were crowds?
Of course. I'll never forget.
Yeah.
I've been itching for that again.
Yeah, I bet it makes a big difference, right?
Yeah, to interact with fans. The arena, just the hype, is lovely when you get to compete.
So how is actually the environment when you play online? Like last season, you know, there's no crowd. You're like in your house with all your teammates and like you don't really go anywhere. Like how's the hype like in the comms? Do you feel like the hype from the match still, or is it just not the same?
When we first started, it was really hard to kind of get into it because we were all just like depressed, like, oh, we were so excited to do homestands. Yeah. Like, we're going to world tour, travel to China, Korea, like London. We're going to go everywhere to compete.
Yeah.
So, like, it's like super depressing when you just have to stay home and play. But I think with like the tournament formats that we kind of got into the league and coming into this season, we're gonna do more tournaments. Like that kind of brings back what old Overwatch was like, where we used to play at home, like on Arctic and Yikes and all those like amateur teams, which kind of more like that feel where you get that hype going to a tournament. So I think that'll definitely be better for us coming into this year for sure.
They went to Korea. This is what I think every time I hear Arctic.
Yeah, the legendary ICC clips.
It really is legendary. I mean, coming into this World Cup, there must have been a feeling that the USA had a huge chance to win. I mean,
I think
you guys battered Korea in the group stage as well, didn't you?
Yeah, it was literally like before trials had started, we were talking about their roster and just looking at it, and we were like, wait, this is definitely the weakest roster they have. They're like, not the weakest, but like probably the most unsynergized in terms of like people on the same team, you know, like we knew that they weren't going to have as much synergy as the other South Korean teams would have. So we were like coming in really confident.
This is kind of crazy looking at it. I mean, you got Mano, Bedosin,
and IDK.
Yeah, like, and IDK.
So it's out of place.
It's weird.
So out of place.
It is really strange. I remember there being a bit of controversy in the Korean scene about this roster being picked up as well.
Krusty got a lot of hate.
Yeah, Krusty got a lot of hate when they lost as well.
Yeah.
But because the Korean fans demand excellence, and the USA fans have no... I mean, USA lost to the UK the year before.
Yeah.
So...
What was that like, I guess, the mentality going from... Because you played in the 2018 World Cup and you played in this one as well.
Yeah.
And going from one year to the next, I mean...
From being battered by the three heads to win the entire thing.
I mean, like, when we went back over it and when I kind of looked at it, it was just... We had completely overlooked everybody except South Korea. Like, that was the only team that we were focusing on, the only team that we were preparing for, we didn't even look at UK once. And I think that's probably what really costed us, is just like not preparing for a team that had all Overwatch League players on it, or like almost all Overwatch League players, and they were still really good. So that was just a big fault on our part. But then coming into the next year, like, we literally prepped every map, every team possible that we could play, and it was just so easy from there. Like, we prepped everything possible, and yeah, we couldn't lose after that.
This is a nutty roster as well for the USA.
Oh yeah,
we were building a Fantasy World Cup team recently, actually, and the USA still has some decent talent, but it's not like this. I mean, Corey Sinatra and Rokas have all left, and you know, there was a little bit of like conversation about Rokas being on the team in the first place, because he kind of stands out in this roster as not an all-star player, whereas everybody else is. But he still, I think, had an important spot on the team, and it's actually quite hard to fill because there aren't that many flex supports from the USA left.
Exactly.
This was like a once-only kind of team.
For real. I mean, a lot of these guys, a lot of them were considering coming back if there was going to be another World Cup. They want to play Overwatch again. Yeah,
that would have been nuts.
Well, I mean, it's actually insane, you know, representing your country like this. So
yeah, of course. And I know that they could do it too. Like, Sinatra, Corey, Rockus. Like, I mean, Sinatra's mechanically gifted, could probably play any game at the highest level. So
God, I would feel so shit if I was American and I'm just like, oh, it's my time to shine. And Sinatra just like, I'm back.
These guys just come back. They take the spots again.
Run it back. The greatest USA has to offer, Valorant players.
But they're truly insane. Before we, like we mentioned Rokas, can you just talk about Rokas being part of Team USA real quick? Because I mean, there was this huge discussion about like, hey, should Sleepy be on the team? Should it be Rokas? Like, can you talk about Rokas as a teammate and like what he brought to this team in the World Cup?
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, like, Rokas has always been a pretty big OG just in the game, and has a great mentality in terms of being like a captain and a good teammate. I mean, he's definitely like a pretty big veteran in that scene, and we kind of need that on our team. We felt like, as like a leader and just someone we can look to. And also, Rokas is our boy. Like, we've all played with him and competed against him for a super long time, and definitely felt like he deserved the spot, and has been on the team for a long time, and was super hungry to win. I feel like it's slept on how hungry Rokas is as a competitor. I don't know why, but he's definitely really up there in terms of wanting to win and just being hungry. So I think that's really what made the difference between the other people. It's just Rokas is a solid competitor and really grinded out for the spot, even though, you know, he might not be like a super all-star player or have that face as like a all-star player, but he's, you know, always been a solid rock for his team and for our team.
Yeah, he's a very interesting player in the scene, actually, because so much of what people talk about when they value Rokas is the intangibles. Is like what he brings to the team in terms of calling or motivation or like leadership stuff, which is literally impossible to see from the outside. I mean, you can't see it if you're a viewer whatsoever. You just see the actual gameplay. I always find that mad interesting. Do you remember what meta this was? Why is Sinatra on Bastion? And it's working so well.
I have no idea. I do not know why he's playing Bastion here. I think this was a strat. I feel like this was for a different team, and we just put it on this map too.
Yeah.
But I don't remember. I just remember this meta, Shock was already really good at it. It was Doomfist, Moira, Reaper, and they had just came off of playoffs or grand finals. They just played this comp.
Actually, Bastion did get played in that meta as well.
Yeah, it did. And so these guys were already nasty at this comp, and that just made it so much easier for everyone else to kind of fall into it. It just felt like you're playing with championship players. Like, you kind of fall into your role.
I was going to ask about that, actually, because I was looking at this team, and three of the members are from Shock, coming right off the back of winning the grand finals.
Yeah.
What was that like, I guess, playing alongside Super, Sinatra, Moth, just having, I guess, I don't know, did they carry with them the structure of the Shock into this USA team? Like, did that help at all?
Yeah, I mean, for, like, just to give a little background on it, it was literally at grand finals at the after party, or even before that, because me, Rokas, and Corey were all ambassadors at the grand finals.
Yeah,
we were all
right
there together with Annalyn too. And it was at the after party when Shock won. Corey came up to me and he was like, bro, like, we have to turn up for this year's World Cup. Like, we have to show up like for these guys, so like, we don't disappoint. And then it was just like beast mode from there. Like the mentality was already there for us, and just hanging out with those guys. And literally after grand finals, Moth and Sinatra told me like, oh, like we want to beat Krusty next. Like that's who we want to beat next. they're like, oh, we just won grand finals, but now we want to beat Krusty. And we all just started laughing. Like, let's get it. So yeah, like it already been there. And then also we had Junkbook too, who was like, Sinatra said it's like a mini Krusty, who would just go over everything with us, VOD review, go over every mistake, and never held back on any of us. Like treat us as his own players, who like made a big difference for us.
Right, yeah, that's kind of crazy. Is it fair to say that you and the other three, I'm gonna keep saying you, but what I mean is like you, Corey, and Raucus here as the three players that were added to the Shock in that sense.
Is it
fair to say that you learned a lot of stuff about the meta and about playing during this, or was it just easier to play naturally because you're with better players, or was there like an actual learning process to get you better as well?
There was definitely a learning process about the meta in specific, because I don't even know if I played this meta, and I know like when I first started playing, Jay was literally just telling me like every time after every round, like on call, Jay was telling me like, oh, like don't rock there, matrix me here, like shift me here, like don't alt right there, like you have to wait for Lucia's beat, like stuff like that. Just little things that he kind of helped me learn, because they knew the meta so well. And then after I got that down, it just became really natural from that point on. It's definitely like just coming into a core that strong makes it really easy for us to play, for sure.
Did that help you change anything about your game, like before you were part of that team, like a way you thought about the game, a way you like went through your mistakes or like thought about the meta? Did they bring anything from the Shock, like a way of thinking about the game, like a way of coaching, a way to watch VODs? Like, was it just like the same stuff you do on the Gladiators, or do they have like a different way of going through scrims and practice and stuff like that?
I think the biggest thing I took away from that was just like how in depth we got with everything. Like every map, every team was super in depth, and nothing was really slept on. Like we made sure that there was no potential chance of losing to any team, and a lot of the times we would adjust depending on what we watched from teams. When we were watching teams play, we would adjust like our strategies mid map, mid game. Like, okay, we're gonna run this now because we just saw them play that. Small stuff like that really like keeps a really good team ahead and keeps them like the momentum rolling. And then just VOD review as a whole was really good, I felt like, rather than doing it kind of individually or not together, but like doing it as a team, which is something that we did on USA the whole time, like kind of just brings that environment in and like make sure that everyone kind of understands what each player is doing and how we can improve as a team is definitely the biggest thing I took away.
And now we're going into the next round as well. It seems like the Bastion comp was good, and then you guys got retaken on as well.
Yeah.
How confident were you that you were going to win against Guria here? Do you remember?
Really confident, but this is probably our most like nerve-wracking game, I feel like. And I think you could see on both sides for sure. There was a lot of like mistakes that we hadn't been making in the series beforehand. I'm pretty sure we lost this first map too, right?
I think this is the only one that you guys lose.
And then there's
a draw in map 4 on Horizon that we're not going to end up covering, but those were the two things that Korea was able to take away from the match.
Yeah, this is the first Moth loss in like his like 20 win streak or something. His first map loss, like something crazy. It was his first.
Oh, right, because he'd run the entirety of the lower bracket. Just before this,
it was like Shock hadn't lost a match, and then Moth had not lost a match for like a super long time.
Yeah, it's not just a match though. They hadn't lost a map.
A map.
They 4-0'd all of the teams in the lower bracket. They dominated.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
This is the first map he ever lost in a long time.
God,
was
you
that like
let
a
him
big
down.
Thing for him?
No, he didn't care at all. He was like, he was super locked in. But I remember after, I was like, oh, it's my bad, we lost that map. But he was just staring at me like, Brian, don't even care. He was like, don't even care at all, bro. But I felt like this map I played really bad. Just this one in specific, I was like playing really bad. I don't really remember why, but like the tempo Korea brought was different. Like we were super used to controlling the tempo the whole time. And then this was the first team that kind of actually had a tempo in the meta, mm-hmm. and it kind of caught me off guard individually. But then after this map, I was like locked in from there on out.
Right, right. How important do you think that is? It's not something that gets talked about very much by players, but when I think about the game, controlling the tempo is like mega important for a team, yeah. for a team's chances of success.
Yeah.
Do you, when you're playing like actual OWL matches, what's the thought process behind that kind of stuff?
I mean, for me, honestly, my mentality has, but like I'm kind of super, just always go first kind of guy, like go to their spawn door if we can. Like I take a lot off of what Sinatra does, and like he has a big impact on my playstyle of just like just going first and trying to control the tempo off that. And the way I look at it is my calls are either, okay, we're going first, or we better have a really good plan of why we're not going to go first. You know what I mean? In terms of like, if we're not going to take the initiative, what are we baiting? Like, what are we getting out of them? That's right, kind of right. what I try and look at. It's like, okay, if we're not going to dive, if we're not going to rush first, if we're not going to go for the first pull, then what's our goal from that point on? Because as long as we're not idle or like AFK, then we're doing good.
Right.
That's honestly great advice if you want to be better at Overwatch in general, because I've played on like many different levels, you know, like mm-hmm. top tier scrims, but also like contender scrims, or even like masters if I had a bad run, you know. But like the tempo at which people play the game really is a huge difference maker. Yeah. Like when you go from different types of like skill, because like if you're in masters, like you have like 5 seconds to think about what you want to do and how you want to do it. But then sometimes I've been in like some pug or like scrimmed against like a top tier team, and before I know it, like the enemy main tank will just be in my face. Like they'll have taken map control and just be in my face before I'm like even thinking about where I want to be on this point. So it's actually a huge thing, just controlling the tempo, but just like being first and making every decision faster than everybody else, because it just gives you a massive advantage, and you often catch people off guard like in their way of thinking, and then you just have a mental edge and it just snowballs from there.
I would prefer the game of Overwatch if not just going second, but like waiting 10 minutes to make every decision was the best way to play. My brain does not work quickly enough. I tunnel vision like a motherfucker, and I just can't make decisions quickly. I suck at playing the game. But I love watching people play at that tempo, because it's so amazing that these top level players, yourself included, Space, can process all of the information and come up with the correct decision so quickly. Like, it's mind blowing to me. I can't do it. Like, it's something I physically am incapable of. My brain does not work that fast.
It's super draining, like super, super a lot of us after matches, like we're literally starving. A lot of us are like super hungry because of all the brain power we're using. Like
match days,
we're just actually starving. I'm like, holy, just give me something to eat after I play. You know, all my brain capacity.
What's your meal of choice to rejuvenate?
Just something like carb heavy, probably. Just something that will fill me up quick. Just get me anything to fill me up really quick.
How much, it might be a silly and dumb question, but how much of it is actually like genuine like thinking on the spot, or how much is like intuition from practice, you know, like you've gone through the motions, now you just gotta execute. Mm-hmm. Like when you play, are you just like in it, like full focus all the time, like thinking about the next step, like, you know, like I don't know how to describe it, but you have to be thinking all the time, because that's draining.
It's super, it's the adjusting that's probably what's really draining, and starting to think about what they're going to do next and how they're going to adjust. Like when you're playing, it becomes like if you're thinking really deeply and trying to snowball, it becomes kind of like we're trying to get 2 steps ahead of you getting 2 steps ahead. And then it's like, you're doing some mega brain stuff at that point, you know, like just trying to predict the future and like know like what calls they're trying to think of and how we can counter that. And so a lot of the times that's why it's like really crucial that you have 6 people that know what they're doing and like, kind of know how to call, because I've had times in a match, I remember it was Gladiators against Valiant in season 3, where we got super stuck and not none of us knew what to call. Like, we didn't know how to adjust.
Yeah.
And it was just like dead silence for one part of the game. Like, and I was like saying, like, yo, what do you guys want to play? What do you guys want to play? Well, we were walking out of spawn and like, no, everyone said, I don't know. And then the next map, David was like, all right, just mirror them. Like, if you guys don't want to play, just mirror them and just try and out mechanic and then like go from there. And then we did it and it worked. And like, we just kind of outplayed their comp. Mm-hmm. But that was like one of the points where I was like, this is like super important that we all kind of can understand what the meta is and like think for ourselves and be like adaptive on the fly. And that's what's makes like a good player, like a great player, is like kind of being able to adjust and call their adjustments after.
Yeah. It's that's very interesting. What do you think are the largest, I mean, this might be a mega vague question, but what are the biggest differences between playing like ranked at the highest level and playing games like this where it's like the elite of the normally I would say World Cup isn't the highest level, it's obviously the Overwatch League, but this USA team is so busted good that it feels like they could actually be an Overwatch Overwatch League team and they'd be as good. So
we could, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, comparing this to ranked gameplay, If there are GMs out there who are like, well, I'm good at the game, I understand how to play the game, mm-hmm. What's the massive next step? What's the stuff that no one's doing in ranked that is mega important in teams?
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, I go over this on my stream almost every day. But I think for me, and I've thought about this so much, like all the time I think about this, and because I want to apply it to practice too.
Right.
But the biggest thing that like difference most players is definitely just communication and like using your mic and kind of maximizing that and calling even if you don't think it's right. You know, I think that's the biggest thing that people struggle with, is that they don't want to call because they're afraid to be wrong and they don't want to make mistakes. But that's literally the only way you learn. Like, it's just life lessons at that point. You know, it's like making mistakes is the only way you're going to grow and get better. But like, the difference between what we're watching right now in my ranked games is that all six of us in this USA game are using our mics. And we're all talking, we're all calming and making sure that, you know, we're controlling the tempo. But in my ranked games, you watch my stream, it's just me talking. It'll be just me and then five other people listening to me. And they're like, oh my God, this is so easy. When I have space on my team, I'm like you wanna help a little? Like, can I get some comments from you? So it's like, that's the biggest difference. And I ask my chat all the time, I'm like, you know, what do you guys think is the biggest difference? When you watch my stream, what's the biggest difference between me and you? And they all say it's shot calling, like the shot calling. You call way more than I ever could. Like, I'll watch the stream, like, I can't do that when I watch you play. And I'm like, well, then that's what you can take away from my stream, is like, you should start talking more, and just don't be afraid if you're wrong, because if no one else is talking, you're still doing better than everybody else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's the minimum you could do.
I remember watching your stream recently, and you were in spawn just comming because nobody else was. You were calling focus fire, like, Sigma, 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 Sigma. Afterwards, you were like, yeah, I don't know what the fuck the team fight was, but I'm just calling random shit and hoping that it's working, you know? Like, if I'm calling something, at least somebody's saying something.
Yeah.
I took someone away from that now, so I will just do that. If I'm in spawn, I'm just calling random shit.
Dude, it works. We do that in Overwatch League. Like, I've done it before in scrims. Like, there will be times where, especially in dive metas, like, when target focus is the most important and like burning a character down is what really like is gonna win the fight, when people aren't talking, I'll literally just say like, bro, just focus Lucio, or I'll call somebody out. I'll be like, Mirror, you have to call, or like, Moth, you have to call, or I'll tell somebody like, you have to call, and that person will start calling. Like, that's what we do when it starts to get a little bit split, is like, you say like, listen to this person.
I think it's quite easy to get into the state where you're just focused on your own gameplay and you tunnel vision and you can't get the
picture.
You can't take a step backwards and see the big picture, so you don't want to make it worse. I do definitely think that you're right with that, in that a lot of people don't want to make shot calls in any sense because they don't want to be incorrect.
But you
think it's just purely something you have to do in order to learn?
Yeah, I think that's what the game is made for. It's for you to communicate. You know, like I played some Valorant recently, and I watch like the pro player streams, and I'll see like in their games they're all talking, communicating, even if it's just with randoms. Like that's what kind of differentiates the teams. And then I'll play in like plat, and I'm like, there's really nobody talking. Like I don't know what's going on at all. We're not getting any value at anything. And then it kind of just applies to Overwatch too. It's like it's a team game where you have to communicate if you want to be the best. Like play at that level. Like the game was made for you guys to talk to each other. So it's kind of what you have to do if you want to improve.
God, it must feel so good to be able to hold career at B and have the crowd just explode around you.
Is that a lot of pressure? Like, because, you know, everyone in the arena are just cheering for USA and you guys? Or is it more like comfortable, like, oh, they're behind us, you know, they're supporting us? Yeah. Or do you feel like, oh my God, if we don't win now, it's like silence and just panic?
Honestly, it was all just confidence. Like we knew we had this one in the bag for sure. Like we weren't tripping about anything. We were all so locked into the game.
Rockets looks comfy, dude. He's just chilling.
He's like laid back, like, you know, like this is about to be slight for us. Like none of us were tripping, like none of us were nervous. It was just pure like confidence, like that we could win this for sure. Mm.
Have you ever played on stage and not had that confidence and had the crowd kind of work against you like that? Where like you can hear the silence and you're like, ah, fuck.
Yeah, I think the only time that ever happened was probably when we went to Dallas and we played the first game there.
Oh,
yeah. But it wasn't, honestly, for me, it wasn't even like the crowd. I think my personal mistake was that I had drank coffee when I don't usually drink coffee, and I was like super duper cracked, like way too cracked, like just shakingly cracked, and I was like whole, like the jitters were crazy that day. And after that I was like, oh my God, bro. I thought about it, I was like, why did I do that? And like a lot of us did it. A lot of us that weren't coffee drinkers drank coffee and were just super cracked out of our minds. And I look back at that match, I'm like, bro, like it would have been way closer. Like the game would actually have been a match if we didn't do that.
Is that because you were in a homestand
so much?
Yeah, we were at the Dallas. We were the first match at the Dallas homestand.
Why were you drinking coffee when you don't normally do it? Were you up earlier because you were in a hotel or something?
Our coach like went to pick up coffee, and then he was like, oh, like, does anybody want coffee? And then everyone was like, yeah, like, we'll have some coffee. And then we all just drank like black coffee. Like a lot of us were just like chugged it down, but like not a single person thought like to ask, like, wait, do you drink coffee every day? Like, is this what you do? And we all just like chugged it down, and we were just super cracked. And then towards the end of the match, we actually started calming down and like playing properly. And I just remember thinking, like, holy, we just threw that so bad. that's something that a lot of people don't think about. Even competitors, they don't think about, like, what you eat and what you drink will affect your gameplay.
Yeah,
and, like,
it definitely does.
And I remember just thinking after, like, wait, like, we weren't even, like, that wasn't even normal. Like, we were just cracked out of our minds playing that. And after that, I don't really drink coffee, so I never drink coffee after that.
Dude, I relate to this so much. And I've been praising this for, like, you know, preaching this for like 3 years now, because I remember we were playing in Apex on Misfits, and we were playing against like Lunatic High or something, like the most important matchup of the entire tournament. Mm-hmm. And what we did back then, we used to drink G Fuel.
Oh God. I've had that before. You're definitely twisted.
So I remember, I don't know who it was. It was like me and I think Sebosai had like a stash of G Fuel for like practice or matches. And we're like, oh my God, it's Lunatic High. We need to win this one, so we doubled down. Twice the dose usually take. I remember being on King's Row playing Reinhardt, and I was like, I can't think right now. Like, I can't think.
Dude, you're literally shaking when you have that much. It's crazy. It's like, if you're not used to it, you don't do it. Especially you don't do it on the match day. Like, do it on a practice day, on a scrim day. But, like, if you're not used to it, don't do it.
So, you get, like, cold chills. Like, your hair stands up. You get, like, cold chills and you're freezing and stuff. Yeah, it's crazy. But, yeah. I that's one thing, like, I tell people in ranked or like pros or whatever, like, don't fuck around with caffeine, because it can like screw up your game so hard if you like overdo it or at the wrong time or like aren't aware of it.
Exactly. If you don't know, if you don't have like a schedule, you don't know what your body can handle, you shouldn't just start doing it randomly, especially when it matters most. Don't start doing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And same with like, I don't know what you mentioned food as well. Do you have like a favorite pregame food?
Not really, but I mean, I try and just eat like really lean stuff. Like, you know,
you're not like a pizza before the game kind of.
Yeah, definitely not me, because I'm always self-conscious about it, but I know people that are. And it's actually funny because some people be like going beast mode when they eat like really bad food, like they'll go crazy. And I'm like, bro, like how is that possible? Like, you know, like we just had KBBQ and this guy's like comping out of his mind. Like it's pretty crazy. But yeah, I try and eat like usually we'll have like Chipotle or something, like, which isn't obviously the best, but it's like better than most options that you can get. Or if we can have the option, we'll have like something with a lot of vegetables or like grilled chicken, stuff like that, and just, you know, put some sauce on it, make it not dry. But yeah, just like eggs, protein, all that kind of stuff.
I remember.
But yeah, I'm more into the, you know, like taking care of my body so I can actually go for longer, because with scrims, like I'm thinking nonstop for like 4 hours, so I'll get really sluggish if I don't.
Yeah, I feel that. That I remember the talent takedown. This is gonna sound so weird going off the back of this, but I drank more coffee than I've ever drank in my life before the talent takedown, and I remember fucking vibrating when I got onto the stage.
It's crazy, bro.
I remember fucking vibrating, and I was convinced for like 5 minutes that I could go pro. In that moment on the stage, I was convinced.
Bren, four coffees deep, is a pro player.
Bro, the Brennomaker. I was convinced I was built different. As soon as I set foot on that stage, and I was like, I'm a LAN player. That's it. I've never played on the stage before. That was it. That's all it comes down to. Because I was dominant. But then again, I was playing against Gold, so.
Yeah. He came back to reality real quick after that.
Yeah.
Thank God for that.
Well, actually, you say that. Been on a bit of a tear recently.
Really? Yeah. Really? Yeah, yeah, I've actually seen that he's been trying to emulate you, Space. Brent's been trying to become great at off-tank.
My off-tank's kind of clean. I think it's my best role now. I'm telling you. I got to learn ball, though, so we can. So when I eventually get to, you know, like 4.7K, we can duo, you know?
Yeah.
You're doing Masters, right, Brent?
Yeah, well, I was close. I was like, I'm. Here's the thing. I'm trying to relearn the game. Because I am, like, I took such a long time, like, every season, some seasons I wouldn't even do placements. I would just be playing, like, I don't know, a couple of games. I just haven't been playing the game enough. That's what it comes down to. You just got to play the game a fuck ton, and you get better.
Yeah, I heard you were hiring, like, mentors and assistants to, like, coach you the game.
Yeah, Smex has been coaching me on off-tank.
Yeah, maybe time to elevate to Space, you know?
Like, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Send like $50 on PayPal, you know, Space. How do we get to GM? Come on, man.
Tap into my stream, bro. I got you. One-on-one lessons with Bren.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been enjoying the game recently. I've been playing like, I think I played 300 games of ranked so far this season.
Really?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Holy crap. The grind.
Actually, I think I like more than I played in the last 10 seasons.
Yeah, they'll get you. You get addicted like the rest of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I've never had the time to play the game properly. I just don't. Like, that might sound stupid, but I watch the game a lot. But watching the game does not make you good at playing the game at all. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no substitution for actually just playing
the game.
Yeah. That's the funniest thing. Whenever I'm streaming to my like my regular audience, they'll always say like, oh, you made me want to play the game so bad. Then I get on and it's like Gold's just trolling and I got a Junkrat one trick, like alt F4ing, like, is, and then I come back to your stream and I get rinsed and repeat like over and over, like, oh, I want to play so bad, and then they play Overwatch and it's not the same. It's two different games. It's like two completely different
games.
You need
the mental. You need a strong mental. You do.
Titanium mental.
Exactly.
I wanted to touch on that a little bit, Space, because I think you tweeted at some point at the end of last year that you'd been having like mentality issues last year and been kind of out of it a bit. Can you go into that a little more? Like, what was going on there?
Yeah, it wasn't really it was a mentality thing, but it was definitely more like, now that I look back on it and I kind of got a better perspective of it, it was definitely more just like not really burnout, but I felt like extra pressure because it was during playoffs, and I had like made a goal for myself to kind of stream every day after practice and like keep trying to interact with my fans and like do a like my own thing on my downtime. But I was like super, super locked in, and like in a really competitive mentality that I felt like when I went, like, I didn't want to stream was the thing is that I didn't actually want to stream after playoffs because I was so, like, locked in and didn't want to lose any maps. Like, really was, like, going over VODs and all that kind of stuff and was super competitive that I didn't want to play ranked because I knew that it wasn't going to go well. And then when I actually went live and played, I already knew, like, okay, like, I can't do this. Like, it's just, like, it came to a point where it was, like, I can't control stuff in ranked, and like Curry told me, Curry Shot, I'm sure you guys know him, was my coach at the time. He told me, like, just when you're playing ranked, just think about you can control what you can control, and then that's all you can really do from that point. Because in scrims, like, I can control everything. Like, I can make sure that we improve and get better, but in ranked, I can't do that. Like, I can't control my Zarya not talking or, like, running it down mid constantly, and that's kind of just what made me, like, trigger, and then it kind of got to me. But then after that, it felt a lot better. And also when it happened on stream, like, it was like Rockus and Corey and, like, all these other cats that weren't playing Overwatch League anymore were, like, came into my stream, like, oh, like, we love you, like, you're such a beast, like, they are gassing me up hella, and, like, it just made me super emotional because they had all felt the same way as me, kind of, where it's like they love Overwatch and they love competing, but sometimes, like, ranked will just get to you because you can't really control it. And it's not always as competitive as you want it to be. And then it was just like, it just made me hella teary-eyed, like, to hear that from people that are in the league and also out the league kind of feel the same way as me. And, like, I wasn't alone, but I just kind of physically showed it on stream. So, but it was a lot, like, a big learning experience for me, kind of.
What did you learn? Like, what are you changing for the future? Like, this year, what's the approach that makes that different?
It's definitely just the mentality of knowing that, like, I can control scrims and I can control making my team better and making myself better, but I can't control what's going on in ranked, and control, like, what other people want to do. Who like, I think the way I look at it now and what I always say is that I don't expect, or I don't have high expectations from people that aren't paid to play the game. How I look at it is, like, if you're not Overwatch League, I don't have any expectations from you, so I'm not really concerned about what you're doing. Like, if you're trolling my games or if you're not trying as hard as I am, it doesn't really matter to me because you know, we don't play at the same level, so I just don't hold people to any of my expectations is what I do now.
Do you always just, like, grind ranked, like, after practice every day, like, put in the hours, or do you change it, like, depending on where you are in the season? Like, I don't know, what have you been up to in the off season? Have you played the game less to, like, take a break and just, like, let go? Or, like, are you always just like, I gotta grind, I gotta go all the time?
Definitely after this season, I took a fat break. I'm pretty sure I took, like, a month off or, like, a month and a half off of, like, not playing. And then just recently, I've been grinding, like, every day for about a month now. I'm pretty sure I've been streaming every day, just grinding every day to get it back into, like, my routine and just, like, focusing on, like, calling and stuff, not really mechanical stuff, just, like, understanding the meta and the game. And when I get back to LA, I'm going to be playing, like, KR ranked because I know we're most likely going to be scrimming on KR. So I'm kind of excited for that just because I know, like, that ranked, after they're done scrimming, the ranked games are, like, super stacked. So I'm kind of excited to play in those.
Wait, can you explain that a bit more? So when you move back to LA, you're going to be playing on, how much ping is that?
Like 150, I believe.
Jesus.
150, and then, like, I think it's, like, 100 or like 90 maybe to Japan servers, which is where we would scrim if we were to scrim against KR teams.
So why are you doing that? Because there's gonna be good teams in North America next year, right?
Yeah,
so why are you scrimming on KR?
Honestly, I couldn't tell you. I think, it's because of visas. That's what it is.
Right now.
So a lot of the teams that are going to be in our division aren't there right now because of visas. So they're in Korea or...
Right.
Yeah, so it's like the teams that are in NA, like Outlaws, for example, is kind of already on the schedule. Yeah.
Houston are all on our schedule.
Yeah, they're in schedule right now, which I'm unironically on already just from streaming. So I just have to stay on that schedule for scrims now.
Yeah.
So that's what the situation is right now. But.
Yeah. It's kind of nice that Korean hours line up with D-Gen NA hours.
Yeah. It's like we're already there. So it's like we just hop on. I think some of us just got on KR ranked, like just to get on it because the NA queues were so bad that people would just get on it. Like at 6 a.m., they'd be like, all right, I'm going to go to Korea. But now we're like actually playing on that for practice.
Is it more fun even if you can't comment Korean properly?
Yeah, it definitely is. It's more competitive too. I mean, for me, just like the type of player I am, I'll probably still talk even if they don't know what I'm saying or I don't know what they're saying. I'll probably still talk because that's just what I do. Like, I'm not kind of there. I won't just sit there quietly. But yeah, it's going to be an experience for sure. When I played ranked in Korea, when we traveled out there, it was really fun. It was a movie. Like, a lot of those guys were super nice to me and just chill. Like, yeah. a lot of fans out there, like, interacting with me and stuff. So it was just a good time.
Yeah, that's
people
cool.
Also, from when I was there, like, usually if you join, like, KR matchmaking, they do, like, recognize who you are. And obviously they're going to recognize Space because mm-hmm. he's, like, an yeah. all-star, world star kind of guy. But, like, they actually try to come in English because they're like, oh, yeah, Space
yeah,
is here.
Yeah.
You know, we got to come in English now. Yeah, so he's with us now, you know? He's on our yeah, team. And sure. they actually, like, make an effort to, like, try to come for you as well. And, like,
that's
try
crazy
to make the
cool.
games good. And, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm definitely so going to play on my main account and not playing like a Smurf. I think if you play on a Smurf, they won't even know. So.
Yeah. That's nuts, actually. That's really interesting.
I'm also looking forward to playing with a lot of those guys, like Prophet and Fury and Jesse. Yeah. Like all those things I haven't played with in a long time that are like my homies, I haven't played with in a long time. So I get to actually play with them.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You go on, Johnny.
No, actually, you maybe had a better question because I was about to say, like, we brought up this match and we don't really talk about the match because there's so many interesting things to ask you.
Well, I had a question about the match. I had a question.
Okay, well, go ahead then. Yeah.
We saw a lot of the meta for this World Cup be essentially defined by the playoffs for the Overwatch League that had just gone on, I don't know even what it was. Was it like a month before?
Yeah, it was maybe, literally like a month, maybe two yeah. months before.
So it was almost like... Baby Shock and Baby Vancouver or something, you know, with Choyobin and Haxal and Architect, and then you guys yeah. got three Shock players on the other side as well.
Yeah.
You're pretty much on Sigma the entire time throughout this match, as far mm-hmm. as I can remember. Do you ever feel like you want to be able to play way more heroes as an off tank? Because I know that you've got like a cracked out D.Va as well, and from the times that I've seen you play the other off tanks, you're a pretty well-rounded player. Mm-hmm. Is there ever like a desire to play more than just a single off tank when a meta rolls around?
Yeah, definitely the desire to swap. I think off tank we're usually, like you said, like stuck on one character for like a year or like three yeah. 4 months. We'll be playing like just D.Va, just Sigma, just Zarya. But definitely more variety would be great for sure. Like if there was like more new characters, like a more like a variety meta, I would really like to play like more characters within one series.
Do you feel like when you play Sigma for so long, like when he's just dominant in the meta for that long, do you feel when you return back to D.Va that you've lost something or like it takes time to pick it back up again?
Yeah, definitely. 100%. It'll definitely feel like I'll play D.Va and be like, holy, like I'm actually a noob right now. Like I don't know what I'm doing. Like I'll forget like to take like the really good positions, like get the high ground, kind of get in an advantage spot when you play the same character for like a year. And then like I'll go to Zarya and I'll be like, holy, my Zarya is I haven't played this character since like forever long. I haven't played Zarya, and like I didn't even play Zarya that much as a pro, so I'd always yeah. been kind of weak at her. And then it just kind of gets weaker and weaker when you're playing like one character for a long time. So it's super hard to be ready to play the next thing. And then it's like sometimes we even have to play main tanks, so it's like it's very weird.
How do you keep on top of that? Like do you think it seems like a silly question because you can't predict what the meta is going to be yeah. coming up. So, yeah. but do you think it's a good idea to be just practicing them all in ranked, even if it's not optimal?
I think that's exactly what you do is you just have to kind of learn all of them, like learn all the characters in your role. I think that's kind of what the game has gone to for everybody. Even flex supports or support role and DPS role. Like when you look at Echo, like if you play Echo, you have to be able to play every character in the game. Cause if you ult and you don't know like how to ult on that character, you're going to look on some other level like feeding. So like these DPS players, they kind of have to learn everything, and just to be valuable and be like a, you know, if you want to like survive in an environment that is super competitive and there's always going to be someone trying to like someone looking to take someone's spot in Overwatch League, you have to be able to play every character and like be good at every character. So I think that's just the way that the game has kind of evolved, is like even supports, they're learning every character.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Moth is trying to, like Moth knows how to play every character at the high level, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's just like what you have to do.
What was it like playing against Choyobin in this game? I mean, Choyobin at this point was just renowned as the number one off tank.
Yeah.
I suppose some people would still say like Yuri's just a crackhead, that he's just a crazy, crazy player, but most people would have had Choyobin as the number one, straight coming off the Shock winning the grand finals.
No, definitely. I mean, Choi on Sigma is another level of beast. Like, he's the one Sigma player. I've said this before, but he's the one Sigma player, like, in ranked. When I used to go, like, a lot of times I'll take ego battles against Sigma players, like, just to do it. And I'll go in front of Choi, like, I'll have 400 HP and he'll have 200. And I'll go in front of him and he'll still almost beat me. And I'm like, whoa. I'm like, whoa. Like, I almost just got embarrassed playing against this guy. Like, his Sigma mechanics are super nasty. Like, he understands the character, like, really, really well. It's, like, scary to play against for sure. He's definitely one of the only Sigma players where I felt like, he could do that to me, where it's like, if he has 100 HP and I walk up on him, he could still beat me. Like, that kind of level of a Sigma play.
Yeah. If you were to go, like, super specific, like, micro detail, like, when you compare some of these other off-tanks to yourself, like Fury, Choyobin, what do they do better? Like, do you watch their vaults and it's like, oh my god, I can't believe this guy, like, hits rocks like these, or it's about shield management, mechanics, like, when you study them, like, what do you look at, what they do that is so impressive?
Yeah, I think definitely it would probably be, like, cooldowns and positioning is probably the biggest thing that you'll take away from it. I think mechanics is just kind of natural for all of us. You know, like, it's a lot of instincts that kind of come down to it. But when it's in, like, metas and meta-specific stuff, the big difference for off-tank is, like, a lot of positioning and cooldown usage is probably the biggest things that I try to look at when I'm watching other off-tanks. Because I already know I have the mechanics there, and it's just like the kind of more important things will outclass the two of us, you know?
Who are the other off tanks then that you think are elite level in the scene? Because someone we haven't mentioned yet is Void, who I very highly rate from Shanghai too. But I want to hear it kind of from you. Who are some people, either because you've played against them and they're on the verge of embarrassing you, like Choyobin, or just because you respect them? Like, who do you think are some of the best?
I mean, I couldn't say, like, everybody. I feel like I'll miss some people, but sure. Like, off the top, it would definitely be like Choi, Fury, Hanbin, and Void. Probably. I feel like I'm gonna be missing somebody that I think is really good, but those four are kind of like my top four. Right. I feel like would be, like, really good. I think Hanbin came in and was super nasty on the D.Va, and every other character that he played was super confident and came in strong. And then, you know, Fury, Choi, and Void have just always been top competitors and are super confident in their gameplay. So those are probably my top four. And then I have a lot of respect for Hawk, too. Hawk has improved a lot, I think. And I honestly think if there was to be another World Cup, I would want Hawk to play off tank for sure. If I were to, like, take a break, I would probably want him to play, but
right,
that would only depend if the old roster was to come back. If we were to come back, I would definitely compete for that spot. But if not, then I would be like, yeah, like, Hawk could play for sure.
yeah that's pretty cool. I had another question for you as well, and now it's evaporated from my head. Let me think about what I was gonna say.
I wanted to ask what it's like playing with Super, actually. Because you Space, you played with a lot of different main tanks, you know, and you probably have a preference. And also, you're going to play with a new main tank this year, right? So, you know, you play with a lot of different main tanks. Like, do you have a preference when it comes to main tanks? Like, do you have a couple of players that you're like, oh my god, it was so nice to play with this guy because, like, their shot calling, their play style, like, something really gelled? Do you have, like, a preference, like a player or a play style, like someone who really is fun to play with?
Off top, definitely XQC for sure. Like, dude, XQC was, like, super, super fun to play with. Like, I mean, honestly, like, when I go back, like, we were super immature back then when me and XQC used to play together, but we fed off of each other a lot in, like, scrims and in matches. Like, me and XQC are just crazy duo together. And if you ever ask XQC, like, oh, like, who would you play with, like, who would you want on your roster, like, he'll always say Space. Like, if you were to come back to the league, he'll always be like, oh, like, I'd want to play with Space for sure, because, like, we had just like we're, like, kind of brothers when we played together. Like, we kind of came up together, and XQC scouted me when I had first started getting known. XQC was like, oh, like, I want you on my team, like, you have to join my team. And that's kind of how I got started. So I always looked like XQC kind of made me from that point on.
That's pretty sick.
But yeah, that's like, I always had a good time playing with him, and I felt like I brought the best out of him as a player. As, like, a competitor, kind of. We brought the best out of each other.
So this might be a bit of a silly question, but, like, when you play with a main tank like that, like, do you prefer to lead your main tank, or do you want him to lead so you can like focus on your own things? Or is it like a thing where like sometimes your main tank decides what you're doing as a duo, and sometimes you decide like, hey, I want to go here, can you help me shield here? Or like what are you looking for in your tank partnership, like the dynamic being between the two of you?
It's definitely like it's definitely kind of syncing up, knowing what each other want to do, and being able to do it without talking about it is, I think, what most tanks strive for in the league is what David pushes for as a coach too, is like making sure that the tank duo is actually a duo and not just like two players kind of playing individually, so that when you come into a meta, you guys already know like what you're supposed to do and like how to play off each other, which is my next best person would probably be Super, just because me and him are the same as SUC, where we're like just great friends and good brothers, like that we were it's already like it's super natural for us, you know. Mm-hmm. and so that's what I have to build up this season with Muse, is just making it kind of natural and just playing a lot together and getting used to each other, so that you don't have to talk about it, you know. It's just kind of instinct, like, oh, I know Muse is going to do that because that's how he plays, you know.
Yeah, from the outside, it seemed like, even though OG is a cracked out player, it seemed like there was some potential issue there with the Gladiators last year, where the tank duo seemed like it didn't have, I don't know, like the same level of synergy that, yeah, I think people would have hoped for when, yeah, they saw the big names of OG and Space at the front line for the Gladiators last year. What, yeah, do you think that's fair? Like, is that what happened, or is that just what it looks like from the outside?
It definitely did happen. Like, it was definitely a lot of us not kind of synergizing together, because me and OG had already played together before, and we're really good when we play together. Yeah. But then when we were actually on the same team, we had stopped playing together. Like, we played together less, which was like a problem, and then it kind of started showing in our play. But like, I think we had got back on track kind of midway through, and then it was just a lot of other problems that you were seeing from our team, just like communication errors, like small, really small communication errors, and just like mechanical outplays, and maybe not all of us understanding the meta was one thing that happened.
Right.
Was just like, I felt like at one point, I remember I didn't really understand the meta, and we hadn't talked about it, and that costed us like one of the tournaments, or right, like, yeah, where I was just like, oh, like, I didn't really understand what was happening. And when we went over it as a team, like, more people started saying, yeah, like, I also feel like I didn't really know, but we didn't talk about it, because in scrims, a lot of the time, like, we would be a lot of teams or do really well, to where it didn't feel like we were making mistakes. Like, we were just out mechanic people, and then it would kind of cause us to not really go over like what we can get better at, you know, because like we would be winning, and then it's like, what did we go over kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that kind of costed us, I felt like.
I want to just quickly take us on a bit of a tangent there to explain to any viewers too, because when there are the average viewer listening to you say that, I didn't understand the meta. Most people, most average fans think of the meta as just being the heroes being played. Mm. Like, they think the meta is just, like, if we look at this match, it's just Orisa, Sigma, Moira, Lucio, and, yeah, and Doomfist, Reaper. How could you not know what the meta was? Do you mean you didn't know that you had to pick Sigma? but that's not what you mean, right? That is, yeah, that's a gross simplification. So can you go into a little bit more of like what you mean when you say you didn't get the meta? Like, what specifics, yeah, were not being communicated?
Yeah, I mean, I'll do it off of what we're watching right now, just so it's more simple. Sure. Like, I won't have to go into the Gladiators, but like, if you look at what's going on in this VOD right now, a lot of the, like, for example, in my ulti, when I have Sigma ult, their Lucio usually has beat, right? So what we would do is, when I'm ulting, their Lucio is gonna beat, then we would disengage. You know, we would back out because we just baited their beat out for free. Whereas if we went in, they're gonna win that fight because they have beat, right? So one of our plans is, during that meta, is that when I Sigma ult and we get their beat out, just disengage, and then we'll re-engage and we're gonna win after that. And that's kind of like, that's more of a small thing, but that's kind of what the meta is like, yeah, understanding those kind of things is like, we're gonna farm Genji Blade here. Like, yeah, like, Kev's just playing Genji, but we can't take this fight until we farm Genji Blade, and then we force out their trance, and then the fight kind of snowballs from there. So that's like more in depth of what the meta is, and it's not just, yeah, like 1v1s or like going into the fights, like, keep constantly fighting. It's more like planning it out and understanding like how both teams kind of go head to head against each other.
Some other esports call them protocols, where it's like, it's if this, then this. So like, if this happens, we respond with this. Or if we see the opening, we do this. And it's
the flowchart.
Yeah, it's somewhat of a flowchart, but it's also, you can adapt it on the fly, but at least you have an idea in your head of what the plan is, like what the overall idea is. And I think that's also something that's missing from a lot of ranked games.
Yeah, it's mainly just something that you can fall back on, you know, because when you're in the game and when you're adjusting to play styles and, like, you know, when you're going head to head, a lot of it's going to change in the moment. But, you know, if you ever get stuck, like, understanding what there's, like, basic comp sense of what, like, how the comp works, it makes it simpler for you to be like, okay, just farm Genji Blade here, and then we'll take it from there. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of stuff just makes it a lot easier. It's like, if we're coming into a fight, say, against South Korea versus USA, like, where we're kind of stuck, we'll be like, all right, let me farm Sigmaul, and then we can force out their B, and then we can kind of take from there and snowball it after we do what we know how to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so draining about actually, like, thinking and playing all the time, because you're like, oh, they have six different ultimates. There's so many different scenarios every fight. Like, where can we find an advantage? Yeah. How do we win this fight? How do we counter what they do? And that is what is so difficult. So I wanted to go on another tangent, you know, away from the game again. But I wanted to ask you about that, because you mentioned, like, so much detail about this meta specifically. Like, this was the double shield meta here. Like, it was around for months, you know, like, people really knew that. But then we had hero pools introduced, and you're now, like, swapping heroes and compositions all the time. Did that really impact the way you strategized or, like, made up tactics for the gladiators during the regular season? Like, did that change the way you approached the game? Like, did you swap to more different compositions and think less about the quote-unquote protocol, you know, with the abilities? Like, did that change the way you prepared? And also, did you enjoy hero pools in that regard? Or do you prefer, like, figuring out the meta over the course of months of, you know, playing the same thing?
Honestly, for me, I think the best way to answer that is that it kind of enforced more of the protocol on people individually, if you know what I mean. Like, I think before hero pools and before, like, characters were locked, I think a lot of people would get away with not really knowing how to call, like, to their full potential. But now that it's kind of locked in and you have to, like that, like, if one Genji, say we're playing Genji meta or something, like, if their Genji kind of understands the meta better than you and you're playing Genji and you're kind of just focusing on mechanicals, like, that might cost us the series, you know? So when the hero, when the pools came in, it really came down to more like, all right, now all of us really need to understand how to call and how to add to the team individually, you know, like, maximizing your character and becoming a shot caller. I'd say, I think before it would everyone could do it, but I think more people did it than others, you know.
Do you think it was a good thing?
Yeah, I think for sure. Like, just in terms of, like, balancing, like, making it easier for the devs to balance, because otherwise we don't even know what the meta would be. It could probably still be like GOATs right now if it wasn't for 2-2-2. Or it'd be some rush variant, you know, like it would be some type of tank variant or whatever, or like triple DPS, quad DPS, you know, like it would just be so silly for sure. So I think it definitely is a good thing.
What about the hero pools? The addition of hero pools throughout the season, is that something that you believe had, like, a positive effect on the league in terms of teaching people new comps and kind of opening up people's eyes to different things that would have been viable in the meta?
It's hard to really say. I feel like, yes, it was good, but maybe not for everybody. I feel like it definitely makes it, like, you have to learn a lot faster. You know, you only have, like, 2 weeks to practice a comp. You have to be able to understand it, like, way faster and get more in-depth with mistakes. Make sure that mistakes are picked up on as soon as they happen, I'd say, is the biggest thing that I felt like we picked up from that. Is, like, a lot of the times when you're playing comps, like, say you're in a meta for 6 months, you'll make mistakes in a scrim block, like Gibraltar first, right? Like, you know how on Gibraltar first on defense, they're playing up on that plat, and a lot of times the monkey will jump up and you know, land on them. A lot of times you'll see monkeys jump up and die instantly because their diva didn't matrix them. So problems I've had is that we'll play scrims and OG would jump up and just die and just die and just die, and, like, it wasn't until, like, the last day, like, that this super simple problem was fixed, you know what I mean? Like, that kind of stuff, when you have a meta for 2 weeks, you have to fix that on the first day it happens. It has to be done. But, like, say you have GOATs for 6 months, there's stuff like that didn't get fixed, and that can kind of punish you. I feel like with the hero pools, it makes it like you have to learn this, and you have to make sure it doesn't happen again, ever the second that it happens, that mm-hmm. kind of stuff.
Do you think that was difficult to do with Gladiators last year? Is that something that you
yeah,
felt
for sure.
was
for sure.
hard?
Yeah, that was probably one of the biggest learning curves, is just like making sure that, you know, when you make a mistake, you like, first of all, when people make mistakes, they have to talk about it and let people know that it was a mistake. Because if I didn't see it, I might not know that it was a misplay, you know, until we go over it in VOD view. So if you bring it up to me, like if you bring it up to the team instantly, like, oh, like we can't do this or we can't do that, you know, we lock in on it and make sure it doesn't happen again. And we have to be held accountable for that. You know, like our coaches have to hold us accountable and the players have to hold each other accountable. Like, don't ever do that mistake again, and like really lock down on it, because you can't let it, like you can't let a match get costed yeah. because you didn't matrix your monkey in the first jump, you know. So it's just stuff like that is super important now.
Do you remember this Genji, actually? Because this lit the world on fire.
I do not remember this. I don't.
It was the rollout where like you reflected their Moira orb,
yeah.
so you had two Moira orbs.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
straight away.
Okay, I do. I don't remember why we did this. I don't remember, but this is just some like stupid Sinatra strat for it's like some brain dead. Like we can go as fast as possible if I deflect everything, and then we're like, all right, let's do it, and we just do it, you know. So yeah. I don't remember behind, like someone else would have to pick it up. But
so you mentioned earlier when like Sinatra would tell you like what to do on Sigmar, like you can't do that here, like talk to you like mid rounds. Mm-hmm. What made like how was it to play with Sinatra in that regard? Like, because he's obviously an amazing player now in Valorant as well. Like, did yeah. he think about the game in a different way? Did he approach practice in a different way? Like, yeah. What was it about playing with Sinatra that he like was so amazing at the award?
I think Sinatra is just super, super contagious competitor. Like, by far the most contagious competitor I've ever played with. Mm-hmm. And I strive to be that contagious, but it's literally not possible. Like, that's how contagious he is. Like, in ranked, like, a lot of times, like, I inspire people to come and get better. And, like, a lot of my past teammates, like, are inspired to, like, try harder when I play with them. And, like, it's contagious how I calm.
Right,
but
right.
Sinatra is, like, a whole nother level of just, like, super competitive, super locked in, like, wants to win really bad. And it just rubs off of everybody and, like, takes you to a next level. It's like Jordan in basketball. It's just, like that player is Sinatra, where he just takes everybody to another level. Mm-hmm. And, like, if you fall behind, you literally just... Like you feel like shit if you fall behind. You're like, holy shit, like I'm disappointing this guy at this point. Like, you know, if I'm not trying this hard, like
right,
I'm
right.
disappointing him. Yeah. I was going to ask you, circling back to like the Overwatch League this year coming in, obviously there's less games being played over the course of the season. Do you think that's a beneficial change across the board for like you as a competitor? Do you feel like now when you go into an official match, it has more impact? Like it means mm-hmm. more. Do you think that's beneficial for you, or did you like the longer season? Or I guess you won't really know the true answer to it until you're playing, but what's your early thoughts?
Definitely beneficial for sure. Yeah. Because I think when you look at season one, and we had like 40 regular season games.
Yeah, that was crazy.
It makes it feel like they're not important, you know? Like you look at the games and you're like, all right, we lost, but like we have another 5 games next week. Like it's not that important, you know? and I think now it's like, It is. We have 16 regular season games. Like they are very important, and we're in like a tournament format where it's like do or die. Yeah. It is super important, you know. And it just like kind of makes it much more competitive naturally. Whereas rather it's like we play 100 regular season games where it's like we don't really care if we win or lose because it doesn't have that much impact. But now I feel like it does. So it's already been way better with like the last two seasons. Mm.
How are you feeling coming into this season with a brand new team? I mean, people are hyped, but people are also expecting quite a lot.
Mm-hmm. I'm super excited for sure. I feel like personally, I've been thinking about it. I think this roster that we have is my most stacked roster on paper in Overwatch League. Like just in terms of like raw mechanics, I feel like it's my most stacked.
Yeah.
And I look at it and I'm like, holy, like I'm kind of overwhelmed. Like I feel like these guys are nasty compared to me. Like I'm gonna look like the weakest player on this team. So, you know, it's like motivation for me, but it's definitely a super stacked roster. And, you know, we already played in one tournament together and we did really well in like a short period of time. So I'm just kind of looking forward to scrimming and getting used to everybody, getting to know everybody. But yeah, there's a lot of expectations for us this year for sure. Yeah. And we're not trying to disappoint.
You guys won that tournament, right? The Valiant
Winterbowl.
That was very impressive. I imagine, I mean, from the outside, we were saying kind of the biggest deal is getting Muse integrated to the team. Mm-hmm. Is that how it feels from the inside as well? That is kind of the thing that's going to help you guys reach that potential?
Yeah, definitely. I think definitely Muse and me and Muse kind of getting used to each other as a tank duo for sure. And then just everybody getting used to each other's voices and just like comms and getting like the trust is probably the most important thing that you could have in a competitive game like this, is just, you know, trusting each other's calls, which is another thing with the guy you're watching right now, is that Jay like is really good at building trust and you know, making sure that all six of us trust a call, even if it's the stupidest call you've ever heard, we're still gonna do it, you know, like that's something that Jay was really good at, is just like, I don't care if you tell me to go Sim. I don't care if you tell me to go Bastion. Like, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to trust your call. You know, like, right, that's something right. that he was really good at doing.
Yeah. You obviously played with Muse a little bit, I can imagine, already. Is there something you're, like, really excited about Muse? Like, oh, he's so good at, like, the way he communicates, like, his positioning. Like, what's your first impression with Muse going into next year?
So Muse was actually, when we scrimmed, I don't remember what team he was on before. Do any of you guys know what team he was on before?
Wasn't he on Paris Academy for a little bit, and then he went back to, was it Talon? No, it was not Talon.
No, it wasn't Talon.
I should know this. Oh my God.
Basically he sat in for a lot of our Eternals, Muse. He scrimmed when we needed like another player to fill the role. Like, Muse played with us a lot. So I'd already played against him a lot, and I was like, he impressed me a lot when we played against him. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of got used to playing with him and against him, like, already from the Eternals. So I already know how nasty he is, like, mechanically, and just, like, calling-wise, he's really good. And he's just super funny and, like, kind of like a quiet, shy guy. But I'm definitely going to get, like, more used to playing with him and get him out of his comfort zone, I feel like, for sure.
Did you look it up, Johnny? Did you find where he was?
He was on Eternal Academy for a little bit, yeah. And then he was on WGS Phoenix on a loan.
Right. Two-way?
And then on 200 MS on a loan.
It's actually a super weird scenario.
I just remember playing with him in our Eternals, like, a lot. He would always fill for us. And I think probably why we picked him up, is because he was already used to us, playing with us.
God, Architect.
He was on Talon
fucked.
For a little bit, though.
Architect,
dude,
just dominated.
Just got dominated off that pull.
Yeah. It seems like, I mean, Super must have been enthralled to play this much Orisa as well.
Yeah, he's our hidden carry, we say. He was our rock this year, because literally nobody highlighted Super at all, we felt like. So he's always just saying, like, oh, yeah, I carried that. But he's nasty. It's funny, too, because when we started playing, Junkbook was like, oh, like, I've never seen anybody play Orisa like you. Like, he's like playing DPS Orisa. Like, he gets like super close and like plays aggro. Whereas most Orisa players are like trying to shield and like pocket people. Like, Super's like playing brain dead, like playing it like Reinhardt almost, like trying to run in and do like damage. So we like adjusted that and like kind of integrated it to our play style.
So
he's like an aggressive Orisa player.
The one player we haven't talked too much about, honestly, on the USA roster is the person that's on the screen right now. It's Moth, and it's someone that you've been reunited with for next season on the Gladiators. What does Moth bring to the team? We talk about him a lot as being like the rock of the team. I know that you just said that about Super, but in terms of like personality wise, seems very grounded. Seems like he's a calm person that's always going to get people back on track. Like, that's his reputation coming from the Shock. What was he like to actually play with?
Dude, it's honestly just like main supports are a different breed in terms of being PMA, I think. Like, those guys are just on another level, bro. Like, every main support I've played with, they don't tilt. I think if you have a tilting main support, there's something wrong. You know, like, that's not the role. That's not the role for him. If you're tilting on main support, that's not the role for you. But like, Big Goose, Custa, Moth, like all these guys that I played with, they're super, oh my, we just got dumb hype. I just got crazy, but yeah, like Moth is super PMA, like super locked in, and always like positive mentality, just keeps like the team on a cool level, and he's an amazing like mechanical player, like a good leader. So
look at him, he's just on the outside of the group hug. He's like the dad. He's like, yeah, we did it.
This is just another day on the job for me.
Just another tournament win.
It's crazy, but he's been wildly successful as well.
Yeah,
wildly. And he's
Yeah, the move away from the shock was... I'm trying not to use the word shocking. It was astounding for... It was surprising for a lot of the community. I mean, really very, very few people thought Moth would be going anywhere because he's just been winning so consistently on the shock. That must be exciting to play with a player like that.
Yeah, no, definitely. I already have like personal experience with Moth because of USA and stuff, and just like competing against each other in NA before all the league and stuff. And also on before we were pro, we had like scouted Moth. Like we wanted him on our team, but we never went through with it. I think you got like Toronto or something.
Right.
But yeah,
right.
Moth really came up like fast, and then he just kept going, like kept going off that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, but he's just a unit, bro. Like an actual unit. And
I'm Moth's number one fan, I'm telling you.
Yeah, bro, me too. I strive to be like Moth. I'm always in his stream watching. This guy, he's just goated.
Yeah.
He's funny too because people always think he's so sad or like they think he's depressed, but that's just like the way he looks, like the way he talks. He's super monotone. He's like an anime character, I feel like. like super, super edgy, like scared of this guy at that
I like point. It though. It's like a 180 actually. You go into a stream and his chat is just unlike anything I've ever seen. It's just very wholesome. Real, it's everyone's on the same vibe as him. I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm really looking forward to it, actually. Just seeing him in a new environment. Like, your team is, I mean, we've already said it, it's just going to be cracked next year or this year.
God, that's actually brutal. Because I was here in person watching the World Cup because we were on the desk. I didn't see that shot at the end. That is heartbreaking for the Korean guys. The expectations on their shoulders were immense. They always are every year.
Crazy. And you didn't want to be the Korea team that didn't win.
Oh, yeah. So the fans would light you on fire.
That's why Jonak dodged the bullet, is what they were saying. So, they said that Jonak saw it coming, and he was like, nah, bro, I'm taking a break. And
he saw Team USA coming.
Yeah, he's just like, yo, this Sinatra guy's on another level.
I'm pretty I'm pretty sure Jonak was at the grand finals as an ambassador. He probably saw you all colluding in the corner at the after party. Yeah, he was like, I don't want to hear that.
We don't want that smoke, bro. I'm going on vacation, bro. He's like, you guys could take that L, I'm gonna be chilling.
That's so good. I'm really excited to watch the Gladiators play next season, man. I just hope it all comes together because the potential, like you were saying, on paper, the team pounds. I mean, your team should be right up there with the best in NA. So I'm just hyped. I'm just looking forward to it. I think, it's what's the phrase? If you're the smartest guy in the room, you're in the wrong room. I feel like that's a situation with you, right? Where, okay, let me explain it. Where you've been such an incredible Western player and like one of the best Western off tanks. It's always like you're at the number one of the list if Poco isn't, you know. And for some of the teams, it's been you that's been the star player or at least up there with it. And this feels like you've gone from being the smartest guy in the room to being just like surrounded by the giga brains. And now you're just a normal guy on the team, which will be a shift of dynamic, but that must be really cool as well to look at the team and be like, this has so much potential.
Definitely. Like just in the tournament that we played, in the small tournament, I was like, holy, like this is a load off my shoulders, bro. Like, I'm just getting carried by these guys like Kevster, Muse, Shu, Moth, like all of them just popping off. And I'm just sitting there on the sidelines like, all right, like, I don't even got to turn up right now.
No comms.
I'm just chilling. I'm like laid back like, yeah, it's whatever, bro. It's definitely gonna be a good time. Like we're gonna come and practice strong for sure.
Hell yeah. Awesome.
I like that. Any final questions, Johnny? I'm gonna load it in.
No, I think I'm set. Yeah. It's been awesome having you on Space. I'm pumped to see you guys next year.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me, bro. I appreciate it.
We really appreciate you taking some time as well, your day as well. I know it's getting busy with the scrim schedules at the moment, so it's nice. It's always nice to get the insight from the pro players, especially in the lead up to the Overwatch League this season. It's kind of been a bit of a drought, I think, almost in terms of like
a bit of a content drought.
Yeah, people's expectations. Yeah,
a little dry. So, a little dry.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
It's also like you're waiting. Like I don't know what the saying is, but like the more you wait, like you something good will come. You know, I feel like this could be the best Overwatch League season yet because so many teams are like shuffling their rosters or like making great improvements, and like Gladiators is definitely at the forefront there. Where it's like, oh my god, I can't wait to see this new Gladiators team. It's gonna be stacked. So it's a long way until the Overwatch League starts again.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
That's what they say.
Is that the saying? Yeah.
Absence makes the heart grow fond. Normally used for like couples.
Sure.
But Johnny's using it for his love for Overwatch League.
Well, I mean, I'd apply it to you too, Sideshow and Brandon. You know, like you guys are in Austin now, I'm in LA. Like, come on, there's some absence there, you know?
One day. I'll fly back out just to you. When COVID's over, you know, I've got that vaccine in my veins. I'll be going out.
I'll fire up the grill.
All right. Thanks for watching, everybody. Episode 73. Almost forgot the number. I'm pretty sure it's 73. Episode 73 of Plat Chat Overwatch as well. Do we have any other content plans? Yes, we do. Team Preview is going to be coming out pretty soon as well.
We've already done the Gladiators one.
Yeah, we have. I mean, we're pretty hyped for that.
Sealed, shipped, put in the box.
I don't know. Can we announce what Team Previews are coming up next?
Yeah.
What are we doing? Boston?
Boston, because they just announced their new players.
What else are we doing?
Paris.
We're doing Guangzhou.
Guangzhou.
And then
Florida as well.
Yeah, Florida. There you go. I don't know what order it's going to be.
Actually where OGs ended up landing too, in Florida, which is
interesting.
Yeah, another really interesting team to see whether that fleshes out.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, thanks for watching.
Okay, well, you want to say? I just ruined it. I just wanted to ask Space, like, who he thinks is, like, best of those teams. Okay. Like, is there any team he's like those teams, I'm like eyeing them. Because like there's no Valiant anymore. You can't compete with the Valiant. Who are you competing with? You know? Who are you eyeing?
I mean, it would probably have to be Shock. But out of like the new teams, I think like for me personally, Outlaws, because all my boys are on that team. And they're pretty new. And like so I wanna dominate them for sure, like personally. But then I think the other team would be like Florida for sure. Probably like they're gonna be a really heavy contender in our division, mm-hmm. which they already were last year. They're pretty solid. So but yeah, those are probably the teams that I'm looking for.
All right, nice. Here you go, Bren.
Yeah,
here
leave a comment. Which team do you want us to see cover next? Even though we just told you what teams we're covering. I mean, we might change our minds. Who knows? I don't know. Just leave a comment for the engagement, you know, get us that ad revenue, all the rest of it. Anyway, more Overwatch content coming on our channel shortly. I think this is the first like official proper close I've done for an episode.
Well, you're fucking it up now. So.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, just can we end the episode?